coming to you from the top of the SmartWorks Tower. Nestled between the massage parlor and donut shop in beautiful downtown Red Bluff, it's the PenPals.Buzz podcast. Need a genuine connection? This is the place to learn how a pen pal can change your life. And, oh yeah, they just happen to be in prison. But Big Steve will never judge. He's open-minded, he's a little quirky, and he's ready for another adventure. So get your postage stamps, grab a pen and paper, and get comfy for 30 minutes of pen pal pleasure. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
It's only like 8 o'clock right now, but I feel like it's freaking midnight or something. Setting these clocks back. Then all weekend, this is a shout out to PG&E. Our freaking power was out for the entire weekend. You should see me down on my knees trying to get the generator started so all of our frozen foods didn't freeze. I'm fortunate, this is for real. I was thinking of joining Nutrisystem, and I think I still am going to. They send all this frozen food, and man, I would have had, because this stuff's like $600, right, when you order this. Would have had like $600 of spoiled diet food in my freezer, all thawed out. As my wife said, we would have just had to eat it all in one night. Maybe it would be the purge or something like that. I get it all out of my system, and then I don't ever want ice cream again. I don't want brownies. No, don't give me those cookies. Hell no, I don't want French fries. You know, one thing that really sets us apart from some of these other prison pen pal sites, I won't name them by name, or will I? Will I name them by name? Writeaprisoner.com, Pinnacon, Inmate Connection, Inmate.com, Inmate Classified. You're not going to hear a prison pen pal podcast every week on any of those other sites. We've also got a blog, which we contribute content to every week. And we actually have a inmate who's going to be joining us here a little later in the show. He wrote some amazing blogs, Lewis Paz is this guy's name. You'd think if there's an inmate writing an article about how to support inmates, that it would be mostly consisting of the address to send the money order to and how to add money to their commissary account, etc. But this guy, quite the opposite. And I think you're really going to enjoy hearing him talk a little bit about his philosophy on that and his thoughts. And also reading his blog. If you go to penpals.buzz, you can read them right now, right at the bottom of our homepage. But first, before we get to that, Will Leverett. You may have heard about him in the news. Probably not, although it was quite a big story in Connecticut. He murdered a woman while she was jogging at night, 54-year-old Melissa Milan, who was a senior vice president at Mass Mutual Financial Group in Connecticut. Now, Will stabbed this woman, and he wasn't caught for 4 years. This became a cold case. Detectives even admitted that they never would have solved the case. However, a little over 6 years ago, Will walked into the police station and confessed to the crime. Wait till you hear what happened after he confessed. He's now 6 years into a 35-year sentence, and he's looking for pen pals or friends who would be interested in getting to know him further and hearing his story. We're going to have him share some of that story right now on line 4 on the penpals.buzz podcast. And Will,
hi Steve.
I'm so glad we finally made this interview happen. I know we played a lot of phone tag.
Yes, I'm glad too, because I could have sworn that I had just used my last call to call my mom, and apparently I did not. I was on the phone with her, and I was just having a great old conversation. I'm like, crap.
Oh, that would have been the worst. I mean, it's good you get to talk to your mom, though. You can talk to your mom, not me. Maybe that's just as well.
No, not really. I mean, we had a plan, and I'm glad it worked out well. I apparently overestimated the number of calls I had with her. I have 6 calls a day.
You and I have something in common already, because I too spoke with your mom, and she seemed like a very nice lady. We were trying to arrange this call. You guys get along well, I assume, if you're calling 6 times a day.
We do. We get along very well, and usually plenty to talk about.
Well, I'm glad you called. You signed up recently for penpals.buzz, and I took a quick look at your profile and kind of the background of your case, and it just seems unfair to me. A lot of the people that have, like the higher profile crimes, somebody will Google them and just instantly say, oh, I don't want to write him, and not really give that person a chance. So I wanted to give you a chance to tell everybody a little more about you, not just the stuff they're going to read, you know, in the news, but actually give them a chance to get to know Will Leverett. I mean, I don't know how much you want to go into the crime and all that. I found it pretty awesome that despite everything that happened, that you ultimately did turn yourself in. I'm sure that was incredibly hard to do. You hear a lot of people, you know, why didn't he just turn himself in and admit what he did? And then when someone actually does step up like you did, I feel like you don't get enough credit for doing something so Herculean. I mean, you're essentially giving your life up. Really, I think people should respect and admire that despite all the other stuff.
Well, I'll tell you one thing is that, you know, when I turned myself in, after I had committed this crime, I found out, you know, reading the newspaper that I didn't just hurt somebody, but that I had actually killed this lady, that I was heartbroken by it. I still don't know exactly what came over me that night. It was like a jealous anger or something, and I just did the worst thing in my life I could ever do. But it was really, really sad for me. And unfortunately, you know, at the time I had been living with my grandparents, and I did continue living with them for about 3.5 years after the incident, after the crime had occurred. And, you know, because I was still living with them, they were still alive. I did not want to cause them any grief. So I had made a determination to turn myself in when they were both passed away.
Mm.
That actually did not happen until this past summer when my grandfather, the last of my grandparents, passed away. So unfortunately, I did wind up turning myself in, you know, many years before I would have otherwise. But I turned myself in because I always planned to. And number two, and the other reason is I had a really great friend at the time, and she's still a really great friend.
Uh-huh.
And we had taken a long walk, and I was just tired of hiding, you know, hiding this secret from everyone for so long. I had evaded detection, if you want to call it that, for 4 years, very close to 4 years. And it was a burden carrying that.
I read some of the detectives said there was pretty much no way ever that this case would have been solved had you not confessed. And so, I mean, you were not only had you evaded detection, but you probably would have forever. Although I can imagine, I mean, for 4 years, every day of your life, you're probably feeling that guilt and maybe a little fear. Maybe, I mean, I'd be thinking, are they going to find out? Or
that's exactly what I thought. Absolutely. So, you know, over the course of 4 years, especially for like the first 3 months to 6 months, which is like intense guilt and shame. Like I would see women that I wondered if that was the woman that I had hurt and killed. And I could hardly look a woman in the face, you know, for probably a year. And every time I did, all I would see is like the area where I stabbed this lady. And it was horrifying. And I worked in a customer service job face to face too, so it was an added difficulty. You know, I worked as a cashier in a grocery store where 95% of my customers are in fact women,
right,
and some extremely attractive ones too. And I mean, not being able to look them in the eye and face to face and smile without a twinge of guilt for what I had done was terrible.
It was a terrible thing that happened. I know that we all have momentary lapses in our lives, and a lot of us, not just you, do some really bad things, and you couldn't change that once it happened, but you definitely did the right thing. Now, I see you mentioned in your profile, and I think some of the other stories I saw, that you were very religious, and I'm guessing that was even prior to this crime, you were very religious, and that it looks like in the news, although I don't always believe things in the news, but it implied that you confessed to a church group, and then they kind of helped you go to the police station and tell your story. Is that true, or is that?
No, that is true. So my best friend, her name is Carrie. I won't say anything more, but she was a member of the church group.
Okay.
And when she told me, she's like, "Well, we have to tell the pastor." And, you know, at this point, you know, I had befriended her. I actually befriended her a few months prior to the crime I committed. I actually had friended her. I met her at the grocery store I was working at. I worked at a grocery store for 5 years. I met her within the first year of working there. And we grew incredibly close, and we still are extremely close. But she was the first person I told, and then she's like, you know, I don't want to. She said she didn't want, for one thing, she didn't want to live with the knowledge of knowing what I had done her being the only person who knew. So she said, you need to go tell Pastor Mike. And then the past, my pastor said, it would be a really good, honorable thing, the proper thing to do, to go and turn yourself in. And unfortunately, I mean, I guess it's not unfortunate. It's all part of my task in this life.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's not unfortunate that I turned myself in. I mean, it sucks that I had to lose my freedom, but at the same time, it's the right thing to do. And this is an interesting path I've chosen, but it's one that I count myself as fortunate to be on.
Yeah, and that, I mean, it's basically now it's a new chapter. You've been in there for, what is it, 6 years? And
but just a little more than 6 years now,
and quite a long time to go. But you are, I mean, hopefully you'll still be alive, and you'll get out, and you'll have some time when you get out. I noticed in your profile, you know, before I get to that, and we just have some minutes, and I want to make sure to promote your information so people can write you. But I just wanted to clear this up because this seemed insane to me, and I wanted to just hear it from you. When you went to turn yourself in, did they just say, okay, well, thanks for letting us know, and go home, and we'll be in touch? Did they let you walk out of the police station?
Yes, so that is true. So it was very strange. You know, for one thing, they had other people that came in and tried to confess or confess that they were insane, or they tried to claim reward money or something. But, you know, I went in there at about 10 at night, and I didn't get to go home until about 5 in the morning. But they wanted to detain me, but they contacted a judge, and they contacted a judge on an emergency basis, and the judge would not sign an arrest warrant until they had done more research and diligence. And
I bet you were shocked by it. I mean, I'm shocked by that. I bet that was unreal. You're going there, you're expecting that's going
to
be the end,
and then turn myself in, and they brought me home.
That's unreal. I know we just have a few more minutes, but I want to encourage everybody to check your profile out. I think it's awesome that you're just honest. You're throwing it all out there. A lot of guys try to, you know, pretend or make up a crime they didn't do, or try to make it seem different. And I think the honesty is amazing. Penpals.buzz/inmate/William-Leverett. I see gardening is a big thing in your life.
Gardening is a huge thing. I love gardening. I love farming. I love animals. I love anything with nature.
So those would be some things to talk about: goats, chickens, all that good stuff. You have dreams of traveling around the U.S.?
I do. I'd love to just have an RV and do like a road trip. You know, depending on my restrictions of moving about the country.
Can you let everybody know if they do want to get in touch with you? And I suggest, I mean, I think you'd be a really interesting person to write, and it would benefit a lot of people. But if they wanted to write you, how do they go about doing that? What's the mailing address and or your email service that you guys use there?
My e-messaging service is securistech.net, and then you sign up for Securus e-messaging. There, it is a no-cost e-messaging. The state of Connecticut pays for stamps for both inmates and the people in the world. They provide 70 stamps for people signing up for Securus in the world, and 10 stamps per day per inmate.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I've never even heard of that. We pay like 50 cents a stamp usually, so that's really great.
They also give anyone who orders commentary 2 free envelopes a week. So there are stamps on stamps that I can use to contact. Unfortunately, my tablet is currently broken. Hopefully that is repaired or replaced in a few days.
SecurusTech.net, and then it's under McDougal Correctional Institution in Connecticut. And your inmate number there is 427-700, Will Leverett, L-E-V-E-R-E-T-T. And then if they can they send you a snail mail as well?
Yep. The facility does allow snail mail if people are uncomfortable with using an email-like platform. Can send snail mail. I must admit, I do enjoy waiting for the mail rounds on Monday through Friday, even though I very infrequently get anything, but that's always a nice thing to look forward to.
And is the address I see here 1153 East Street South?
You have 1 minute left.
Yep, that is correct. 1153 East Street South in Suffield, Connecticut.
06080. And I hate that 1 minute lady, but I'm glad you saved her. Saved the last call for penpals.buzz. That's very kind of you.
I'm very glad to have talked to you, Steve, and I hope that anyone who's listening decides that they would like to take the time to get to know me as a person, and I would love to get to know some of them as people as well.
All right. That sounds like a plan, and try to have a nice weekend, man.
You and everyone else as well, all right?
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Steve. Thank you.
Will Leverett, everybody. I appreciate him calling in, but man, it's tough sometimes in this job because it's like, what are we supposed to think? You know, I mean, you heard about the crime. You can learn more if you go and Google it. Who knows how much is true and how much isn't. But what we do know is that 54-year-old Melissa Milan, a senior vice president at a financial group in Connecticut, was stabbed to death while she was out for a jog. And we know that the case wasn't solved for over 4 years. We know that Will Leverett confessed to the crime, went in voluntarily to the police station and said, hey, I did it. And we know that they let him go home afterwards. So, I mean, you put all of the, and yet he still didn't run. He stuck around and he got sentenced to 35 years and took his punishment like a man. So, I mean, there's so many conflicting thoughts. I don't know if we'd call that cognitive dissonance or what, but there's so many thoughts. Is he, should we feel sorry for him? Should we hate him? I don't know the answer. What I do know is that I like to keep an open mind, and I started this site because I wanted to help show the humanity of prison inmates, to show people that not everyone is a horrible person, even though they may have done horrible things. Maybe not a very popular viewpoint, but if you're going to be writing to somebody such as Will Leverett, let me give you his address again, William Leverett, 427-700, McDougal Correctional Institution, 1153 East Street South, that's in Suffield, Connecticut, 06080. If you're going to write him, it could be really fascinating, right? You could ask him, why did you do it? What were you thinking at the time? What was your childhood like? I mean, whatever you want to ask him. And he sounds like an intelligent, well-spoken man who could probably write a fairly interesting letter. I think if I was going to have a pen pal, it's the type of person I'd like to write because I'd want to hear more of the depth of what's really going on here. Tell me what really happened. Why? Why did this happen? What do you think led up to this happening? And we just forget all of that and just get to know him as a man, as a person. I know that's hard to say. Just forget that he murdered a woman. But maybe you could, right? Because that happened on one really bad day in his life. However, he had thousands of days besides that one that might not have been so bad. Maybe you could learn more about those days too. I don't know. I'm just saying. I could be wrong. I know my wife's at home screaming like, he deserves to be there. I hope he stays there forever, and that's fine. And I know a lot of people would think that too. Our next guest has written some unbelievable blogs on penpals.buzz. One's called How to Have Meaningful Connection with Your Inmate Pen Pal. The other, How to Support Someone in Prison. And Lewis Paz, you have a completely different mindset than most of the guys you're in there with, right?
Yes, yeah. I'm very into more into the alpha look of how to look at things inside, you know, how to use this time wisely for you, for to better yourself instead of looking for love and all that other stuff the other guys in here look for. I feel like you just need to stand out and actually look for things that will make you stand out even more than what you already are as a person.
That's great stuff. You wrote something here in the first paragraph of the blog, sympathy alone isn't enough. They need real support. And then you gave a bunch of tips on what you said, how to avoid getting scammed or I think taken advantage of, how to not get taken advantage of by a prisoner. And I think so many people, I don't think it happens as much as people think it does, but a lot of people on the streets out here, they hear horror stories or they're watching TikTok and they're thinking that every inmate in the whole world, all they want to do is rip people off and take all their money and use them. And I know that happens sometimes, but it's just good to help people learn when we're talking about support, that's not really what they need.
Well, I think we as men, we were brought to this world to, I don't want to say suffer, because that's a strong word to use, but I want to say we came to this earth to sweat. You know, we came here to work. Whatever we want, we got to actually work for it. It's in the Bible, it's in history. It's just, if we want something, we just got to sweat it out and pretty much what they call it, blood, sweat, and tears.
I know you work out a lot. You're in good shape. What's your experience as far as how, when you're physically fit and active, how does that affect your mindset?
It's a lot different. You know, your body feels better. You feel more alive. You feel more motivated to get things done. You feel like if you could do that, your mind automatically, because, you know, they told me that to fix your body, you got to fix your mind before anything.
Definitely a connection there, right, between the two?
Yeah, it's one body, so you can, you know, you got to fix one while fixing the other two. And that actually puts you in a tough mental state that where you work out, when you feel like giving up, if you have a strong mindset, your mind is not going to allow your body to give up. You're going to keep going and working out, and it's going to feel good. You're going to feel good after you've done your hour or whatever you want to exercise.
And all that is good, because when everyone does eventually, or the people that do get out, and I, you know, most people are eventually going to get out, they're going to be, you know, stronger and more prepared to take on the world because they've had these opportunities instead of just being, you know, babied. And, you know, the guys that just sit on the bunk and watch sci-fi all day long, when they get out, it's not going to be the same. They're not going to be armed with that ability to conquer the world.
Now, you know, prison, I learned that prison is a secure place, even though, you know, it's violent and a lot of things happen in prison. This is the most secure place there is in the world. You know, you don't pay no bills, you don't do nothing. So you secure, your body just shuts down instead of activating that spark that you have as a human to actually go out there and pursue your dreams and desires.
And I love how everything you write is with that final goal or that destination in mind, or that accomplishment. It's not about, you know, in both of the blogs, the other one's Tips for Meaningful Communication, where you're teaching people out there how to actually communicate with inmates when they're writing them, what to say, what not to say. And all of it's with the greater goal in mind, which I think is great, of basically cut through the BS and let's get real. I mean, I think both of the blogs were saying, let's just keep things real. Let's not sugarcoat. Let's not baby anybody. As far as what people on the streets can do to help somebody that's in your position or any position in prison, right? It's going to be about offering real life knowledge and pushing people to move forward, offering ideas for how they can have a better resume. And I mean, what are your thoughts on, let's say someone in your position, they've got a new pen pal, they got a woman starts writing them. What's really going to help you versus not really help?
Well, it's all about being authentic, being unique. You know, you just got to speak the truth of what you want in life and what your goal is. And if you don't have none, I feel like you need to get your life together and try to figure out what is it that you want in life. And if you could find a pimper that supports you and help you, let her know what you want to do with your time. And if she's there for you, she's going to help you make it happen.
Yeah, because you're not going to judge the people that write you. And that's, I think, the beauty of something you wrote, is that the more real somebody can be that's writing to you, the more of a connection can be made, because you can feel solidarity with them. You can feel like you guys have both been through some crap in life, and you can both relate to each other in that way. But you probably occasionally get letters from, you know, the world out here with social media. Everything's fake and everything's filtered, and everybody's just showing the best 2% of their life to the world and none of the hard stuff. You probably get letters from people, too, that it reads like they're trying to just impress you or make you think that they got their shit together when they don't, right? And I imagine when you read something like that, it can be off-putting or make you think this person's just out to play games or to mess with my emotions.
Yeah, I think if you really want to do something, you know, do it for yourself. Do it because that's what you want to do, pursue. That's what's in your heart. You know, you don't go for the person just to play with them just because you could get some extra soups or something like that, because that's not the proper way to go about it.
Yeah.
I feel like you just need to be real.
As far as your number five here, you said be committed and consistent when someone's writing, as far as setting a schedule, writing on a somewhat regular basis. How is that?
I think it's all about, if they don't have the time, I'd rather just somebody tell me, hey, you know what? My life has become busy. I think that I'm going to slow down, but we can still communicate as friends in the long way. Right. Because at the end of the day, this is not a race that we're trying to get to. This is life at the end of the day.
I think a lot of people approach this as a fantasy on the streets. They think, oh, this is my fantasy life and we're going to, you know, he loves me. But let's just get real and have something that's going to be long lasting and that's going to actually create value for both of you, you know?
Yeah, yes. It's about building ourselves up and helping the brother or the sister next to us come up too. You know, it's about coming together as people.
Yeah. Really, really great stuff. So on the homepage, you go towards the bottom, we have a blog section, and Lewis, here you've written a couple so far, and I mean, such depth in the thoughts that you put forward. I think people that can take the time to read, they're going to learn a lot, and they're going to change their perceptions about supporting an inmate or about communicating with an inmate. Mention a little bit about, you talked about it's a good thing to explore shared interests with the person you're writing. And I agree, this is good. I, you know, from your past experience, have there been times where you've been able to write to somebody about something you guys both like, maybe a TV or a movie you watched or a book or anything along those lines?
Yeah, I had pen pals that, you know, we were talking about certain likes about animals, because we had a certain like about animals. I love dogs, and they happened to actually know somebody that worked at a shelter, and, you know, we just built that communication through there. I actually had people on the outside that was family and was close by the shelter. They actually went over there and became part of it because somebody in prison pretty much built a bridge for it, you know?
You just feel like you can relate to somebody, then there's going to be more of a desire to have that connection and to keep going. You know, and it's sad because we see a lot of messages that people send to inmates that we forward along through our site, and they used to be a lot more in-depth and thought-provoking and meaningful. And I'd say 80 to 90% of them now are one sentence, something like, hey, I'd love you to write me, or hey, what's up? I just wish people would take even 2 minutes.
I mean, if I could give my advice to people, it's just ask questions. Find out what the person likes, dislikes, you know, see if y'all got similar interests, shares. I mean, if they're reading the profile, they should actually talk about the profile, should talk about what they wrote, you know, make it more real, I guess. But don't be too much as a social media just text, because this is beyond a social media text. This is something that is more personal. A letter is a lot more personal, I believe.
People want to get in touch with you. What's the best way to do that?
The address here is 2520 Union Springs Road. We're in Whiteville, Tennessee, 38075.
And what's the number they put? Lewis Paz, P-A-Z, and then what's the number next to that?
It's 526750. That's my Tennessee Department of Corrections number.
Before we go, a lot of people here are curious. What was election night like there in Tennessee? Were people going crazy?
You know, majority of people in prison were going with Kamala.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other half was going for Trump. So it was just a little fun, guys betting who's going to win and stuff like that.
People
just
betting like soups and stuff?
Guys in here. Yeah, you know, little funny stuff, trying to be funny. Who's going to win? Put a little soups on the line.
Just like the Super Bowl, right? Good stuff.
Yeah.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve. But he'll be back Monday with another edition of the PenPals.Buzz podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. PenPals.Buzz is a division of Snaptura Inmate Services.